Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The second stanza, hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. And again, hear the voice that entreats you. O return ye unto God. Reading today from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul, as he writes to them, speaks of himself as the gospel preacher. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And I would read the first verse of the second chapter also. Gives us more of Paul's thoughts. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we might have an understanding, that they will not remain a mystery to us. Paul writes to Timothy, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. He died, he rose again, he ascended up to heaven, and in one way it is a great mystery, but another way it is, as Paul could say of himself, that God revealed his Son in him, that he might preach him among the Gentiles." Let's pray that we will have eyes to see and ears to hear the message from the Word of God of Christ. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. We know that if it were not for him, we could not even be here. We would and could have already received the wages of sin, which is death. We are told in thy word, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And we know that many died directly because of their sin, and sometimes in their sin. We pray, Father, that we may continue to know these things rightly, not only as we think of them from the song, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow," but we also may think of what Isaiah writes in the rest of that chapter, describing the sins of Judah and of Israel that were as scarlet, and the awfulness of them, and how he gave that blessing and that promise in the midst of the description of all those sins and warning. And we pray that we also may heed both the warnings from thy word and know the promises that are only and in because of Christ. Father, as we read Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, "All thy promises are yea and amen in Christ." And here we read also to this church at Colossae that it was because of the blood of Christ, because of his power and thy glory manifest in him and through him, and then that we might know him as the God of glory with thee. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt manifest thyself to us through Christ, through the preaching of this word that Paul did these 1900 and some years ago, but is for us today as well, if we believe on him whom thou hast sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, in his name, that thou would teach us by thy Spirit, that both the church and the world might be taught, the church to be revived, and the world to be taught sin and righteousness and judgment of sin, because we have not believed on Christ. And the great part of the world that some may even speak of believing on thee, Lord Jesus, in a historic way, but not knowing thee in thy greatness, as Paul manifests that here to them at Colossae and to us today as we read it, and that we may know that thou must have the preeminence. We pray also in thy name that we may have the temporal blessings. We give thanks for the multitude of them that we have, that others do not have, in food, shelter, raiment, blessings of peace and freedom. We pray for those who do not have these blessings and who are in suffering because of it, in hunger, homelessness, war-torn lands, fear, injury, sorrow, all these calamities that have come upon so many. We pray for the broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray that the church might be taught, that it will teach thy word once again. Father, that the church may not be in agreement with the world, but in agreement with the Holy Scriptures, thy word. We pray, Father, that we may know that in all things through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Here in this epistle of Paul to the Colossians, as well as in all other epistles, because they are all from God the Father, by the Spirit, none of private interpretation, as Peter said, and as Peter refers to Paul's epistles, some hard to be understood, some even wrested to the destruction of those that would wrest them. But here we have something to rightly hear, read, receive, and pray that it might be ours, as well as it was for this church at Colossae. And thinking of this again, looking at what we have covered, but once again thinking about him that Paul preached, when he said to the Corinthians, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then he preaches that we would see God in the face of Jesus Christ. I was thinking this week, and last week as well, someone told me their love of Christ. They told me a lot about that love, but not so much about who they loved. We must know who it is that we are called to love, and especially, and even far more, who loved us. God the Father loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. And the Son was one with the Father in that love, giving himself, humbling himself, willing to take on himself the form of a man, though not counting it robbery to be equal with the Father. And we see that from the very beginning here of this epistle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, of another. We must know that in salvation it is of another, but also for those who bring the word, it is of another. It is about another, but it is also from another, even as our faith. It must be in Christ, but also, as Paul writes to different churches, of Christ. He is not only the object, but the author and finisher of our faith. And here Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The angel said before his birth, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins." Not just give an opportunity for salvation, but he shall save his people from their sins. He and the Father give this great salvation spoken of here. Just let me go ahead for a moment to the 13th verse. I've read it oft times. "But who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." It was done. They were translated. They had by their own choice been in darkness. And now they were brought into the kingdom of his dear Son, by the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all according to the Word, in plan, in promise, and in actual happening. And that's why Paul could write as he does, from Christ and to them, and where they were now, in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Yes, his dear Son. Not just a prophet, not just a teacher, but the Son of God. We think of probably three major religions that are spread throughout the world. Only one of them acknowledges the Lord Jesus as God's Son. Two of them do not. And many other religions as well that are probably more confined to one nation or another, less people, but when we think of the different religion that some people say, we all worship the same God. No, we can only worship the only true God through the Son of God. Only through the Son of God. He is that. And here he is, Jesus Christ. Jesus, so named because he shall save his people from their sins. He shed his blood. Redemption through his blood. All the Old Testament time shows us the sacrifices. All a type of the Lord Jesus coming. Of which John the Baptist could say, when he did come, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There were probably millions of lambs slain that showed the likeness and the type, but they could not take away the sin. Only one Lamb of God. He took away our sin, if you are a believer. And there's no other way, if you're not a believer, for your sin to be taken away. None. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No blotting it out. No having what the song said. "Though your sins be as scarlet, bright, they shall be as white as snow." David even says, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." What a great salvation from Jesus Christ by the will of God. Christ, the Anointed One, one that is spoken of in the Old Testament as the Father and His Anointed, Psalm 2. When we think of the Gospel of John, when he writes the history of the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry, and after John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed then Jesus, the Lamb, that John pointed out. And they went and said to him, "Where do you dwell?" And he told them, and then one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. So when we read Paul's words here, Jesus Christ, we're reading Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Son of God. And as we'll read just a little bit further in the next verse, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only a humble servant, one that humbled himself to the death of the cross, but he is Lord, Lord of all. And as we can read further in this chapter, and have read it in times past, but I want to call your attention to it again, because there are so few that believe it today, and I don't hear of people repenting of the theory of evolution, the lie of evolution, taught in not just our schools, our secular schools, taught in our seminaries, taught in our so-called Christian schools, the lie of evolution. Foolish, when we think of so many ways the heavens declare the glory of God. Paul writes to the Romans that there without excuse, his power and his God it is shown. And he here tells us, as he does other places as well, that it was through his son who was there 4,000 years before this letter was written to the Colossians, one with the Father, one of whom they said together, "Let us make man." They did. That's why you and I are here. Male and female created he them. God's way of bringing two people into the world, and then those two people having a child together, more than one. Adam and Eve had Cain, Abel, Seth. All of those were born from those two created by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man. And that is God's way. And that has been ever since. Every person born has come from a father and mother, from a male and female. God created it that way. That's God's plan for you and me. As David said in Psalm 139, "Before I was formed in my mother's womb, thou knewest me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou knowest my thoughts afar off." And God knows all the babies that are cut to pieces in their mother's womb, murdered as well. And he knows who's doing it. And he knows that, as he said, "They that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed." Judgment is coming. It's going to be paid for. It was in Judah, the time of Jeremiah. God could not pardon that nation at that time because of the innocent blood that flowed. Stop it! As we come to the end of a day, 2,800 to 3,000 babies killed today. Every day. Every day. We talk about one, we talk about a few, and it's terrible. One is one too many. But then think of the thousands every day, not giving heed to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not giving heed to the Father and the Son and their word, not giving heed to one that is calling us from darkness to light, from Satan to himself, from lies to truth, from unbelief to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Yes, all of that is in Scripture. And after John has pointed out Christ, and Andrew finds his brother Peter and says, we have found the Messiah, interpreted the Christ. And later we read that Christ went to Nathanael and spoke to him. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, teacher, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. Any of you who say you believe in Jesus as a prophet, be careful. Don't say less of him than he is. Nathanael was right. Jesus said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And so will you and I. One day, each and every one of us will see Jesus literally with our eyes. Some will welcome. Some will want to hide. He will be there. He's coming. When he left this earth, the angel said, as you have seen him go, he will come again in like manner. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. When he was here on earth, some Greeks were there, and they said, we would see Jesus. And they could see him literally. But even seeing him literally doesn't clear up the mystery that Paul spoke of where we read here. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and the generations, which is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those Greeks may have seen him bodily. All the apostles saw him bodily. They saw him doing miracles. They saw him feeding 5,000 out of just a few loaves and fishes. Another time, 4,000. They saw him walk on the sea. They saw him in the boat saying to the rough waters, the storm, peace, be still. Immediately there was a great calm. They saw all of that. And yet when he was being tried just before his crucifixion, Peter said, I know not the man. Denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Didn't know him. When he arose, the women came and told them, and they said it was like idle tales. They didn't know a resurrected Savior. When he came to them, the doors being shut, they being fearful, locking the doors, hiding. Christ said, give me some food. You think you see a spirit. They didn't believe in him. Thomas wasn't there at that time, the resurrection evening. He says, I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the hole of his hand, unless I can thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. He had seen the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had reproved him shortly before that when they said, show us the Father. And he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? That is a mystery. The Son of God. All these things have happened, and all these things are there for our learning. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Son of God? What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles before it was known to Israel? Christ said, Abram saw my day and was glad. David said, I see the Lord always on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Peter said later, David spoke of his resurrection. We must see this by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are a generation of unbelievers. We are like a group of blind people, groping, pushing one another, pulling one another. But nobody leads. Nobody knows the truth. How can we believe the truth when we deny this Creator as Creator? Let me read it again. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Created, just spoke into existence from nothing, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. That's who he is. Creator. He speaks also to the pen of Isaiah and says, I will magnify the law. And Isaiah says, he shall magnify the law. And then, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. He is that. That's why, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, if you believe it. If you know your sins are as scarlet, and they are, every one of us, every one, none that doeth good, no, not one. You are no exception to the rest. Are we better than they? Paul says, in no wise we have together become unprofitable. No profit before God. But there's a wonderful profit in the Son. All the promises of God are yea and amen in him, because of him, who he is. Creator, the Son of God, took on the form of a man, went to the death of the cross, made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I intended to go further into the chapter, as Paul said toward the end, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But I'm afraid today we need to have the beginnings. I had it at the beginning when I was 28 years old. The beginning of repentance. The beginning of conversion, the beginning of salvation by faith in Christ alone. Have you had that beginning? And then do you have what Paul is saying here, that you might know Christ in you, the hope of glory?
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.